Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt, led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love. And Lord, we thank you that your love is not a soft love, but it is a tough love. Lord, we thank you that as your children, because you love us, because you want us to share in the good things that you have, you discipline us and you chastise us. Lord, I thank you that in your love, you warn us. Lord, I ask that by your Holy Spirit, Lord, you would warn us tonight. Lord, because you love us, I pray that you would stir us up with an awareness of what this scripture warns us about. Lord, I ask that your spirit would come tonight and that we would be a people whose ears are open and whose hearts are soft. Lord, that we would be open to the things that you have to say to us. So we bless you for that and we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I really want to zero in on the fact that this passage of Scripture gives us a very serious and solemn warning. And I want to call that warning to all of us tonight. In order to do that, let me just read this story. People don't often take warnings seriously, and we're used to maybe seeing warnings or hearing about warnings and not taking them seriously. Has anybody ever not heeded a warning and then gotten in trouble? In our neighborhood, we have this hill that's really long and steep, and there's 25 mile an hour there, and we've gotten 3 tickets there because we haven't heeded the warnings there. 2 of them were Shannon's, not mine. I want to read this. You may have heard this a couple weeks ago. A man who apparently mocked alligators, then jumped in the water despite warning signs, is dead after being attacked in Texas. Did y'all hear about this story? Orange County police were called to the Burkhart Marina near the Louisiana state line early Friday morning after reports that Tommy Woodward, 28, and an unidentified woman were swimming in a bayou and had been attacked by a large alligator. So he had seen the warning. This was a well-known area where there were alligators. He had seen the warning, and apparently he thought he was invincible or thought, oh, alligators aren't going to bother you here. Hold this. And he jumped in the water. I don't know. But he didn't heed the warning. So I want to just encourage us that this is a genuine warning from Scripture, and I want to call to mind that warning. So first of all, I just want to call to attention the language of this section of Scripture. There's all kinds of exhortations. There's all kinds of challenges. There's all kinds of, listen to what I'm saying. Things like, hear, harden not your heart, take courage, hold firm, be on guard, strive, hold fast. So it's full of all kinds of exhortations that are, I don't know, you could say volume of 10. All right, listen to what I'm saying. Pay attention to what's on my heart. Of course, this is a mini sermon in the book of Hebrews on Psalm 95. And I should point out that in a lot of traditions of prayer, Psalm 95 was prayed every morning of every day of the life of those believers. They prayed this prayer as a wake-up call in the morning to not miss the word of God in that day. So a couple things about this scripture. We are in the position that the wilderness generation is in. They were physically going through the Sinai Peninsula. We as Christians are spiritually on pilgrimage. We are spiritually in a desert place on our way to the promises that God has given us. The scripture says, today, and the writer of Hebrews says, "When listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying." See, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us tonight through the word of God, not just to the Israelites in the wilderness, not just to the original recipients of this letter, but to us tonight. The Holy Spirit says today, tonight, to you, to me, the Holy Spirit is saying, listen to this warning that I'm giving you. Don't harden your heart. So the Holy Spirit is here tonight, and we need to have our ears pricked and open to hear what he has to say. So it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice. The scriptures are full of admonitions for the people of God to hear God. More than anything, we're called to hear God. Psalm 81:13, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. And then, of course, the great Shema, the great prayer and almost a creed of Israel in the wilderness, or of Israel of all times, Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. These commands and these calls, O my people, listen to me. Psalm 40, verse 6 says, in sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted. He says, listen, you've commanded the sacrifices, you've commanded that worship, but that is not what you're after. It says, you have given me an open ear. Right? An ear that's open to what God has to say. God's not looking for the sacrificial system. He's looking for hearts and ears that are attentive to hear what he has to say. One of my favorite sections of the Old Testament is in Exodus chapter 21 when it's giving rules about slaves. And it gives that little illustration or that story of, listen, if an Israelite has a slave, you have to let him go after 7 years. But at the end of those 7 years, if that servant says, you know what, I love my master and life in my master's house is good, I want to stay in his house forever. Now, that might seem crazy to us. But I think part of what it's speaking to is us. That we're not in God's house because we have to be, but we're in God's house because we want to be. It says, when that servant comes to that place, the master shall take him to the door of his house, and you shall pierce his ear to the door. So his ear is always open to the commands of his master. Israel was to have their ears always open to God. We as a people are to have our hearts and ears always open to him. So this is just this encouragement in this passage for us to have ears that can hear. And there's all kinds of warning in Scripture that we can fail to hear, that our hearts, that our ears can be filled. So he goes on and he says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. And there's probably at least three things that the writer of Hebrews has in mind here, that day in the wilderness, the day of rebellion and the day of testing. The first is when, after they had gone out through the Red Sea, after they had seen the plagues that God brought on Egypt, after God had led them, they came to not have water. And they came to say, God wants to kill us. We're out here and we're going to die. And they began to complain against God. That's what's called testing, or a place where, even though they had seen God's good provision for them, they couldn't trust. So he's probably referring to that. But it's also referring to years later when they came to the edge of the promised land and God said, go in. And the spies came back and said, we can't. No, we can't do it. It's too big of a task. After they had been delivered from a great empire, after they had been fed in the wilderness, after they had been given the law of God, they refused. And so that generation was punished and they never entered in. They got cold feet. They refused to trust in God. They said, and this is very important, we can't. I can't. Even though God had done all the things he had done, they said, we just can't do it. Therefore, Hebrews goes on to say, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. God is looking for people who trust him. God is looking for people who trust him wholeheartedly. And Israel failed to trust God wholeheartedly. They saw God's deeds on their behalf. But they wouldn't let that settle in. They would not receive it, and they would not let that turn into action in their lives. They didn't trust God wholeheartedly. And I want to point out that just like courage, you know, courage is not fearing anything. Courage is doing what you ought to do even if you fear something. Faith is not having any doubts or feelings of fear. Faith is believing the promises of God and acting on them even though you might have some doubts. You might have some fears. Israel failed to do that. They failed to fully trust God. And they relied on human thinking. They relied on human resources for doing what God had called them to. And so they failed to enter into the land. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. They shall not enter my rest. I want to point out the rest that God had promised them was the promised land. He said, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. Keep in mind, they were slaves in Egypt. God heard their groans and said, I want to take my people and put them into this good land, and I want to bless them and prosper them, and I want them to have all these good things. That rest was good, but they refused, or they weren't able to enter into it. And ours is entering into the kingdom of God. It's entering into participation with God and his ways and his purposes now, and eternally participating with him in heaven. But this scripture gives us a warning. They failed to enter in. You can fail to enter in. That's the whole point of these passages. They failed to enter into the land of promise because they didn't believe. We can fail. And I don't want to say that we can fail. We shouldn't fail. But the warning is here because it's something that can happen. Does that make sense? That should wake us up. That should stir us up. That should give us a sense of, whoa, I don't want that to happen. He says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Now notice about this. Take care, brothers. He's talking to Christians. And he's talking about the people of God in the Old Testament. It wasn't pagans that had an evil, unbelieving heart. Right? It was the people of God, the people of Abraham, that had an evil, unbelieving heart and therefore failed to enter into the promises of God. So he's writing in the same way to Christian believers who know the promises of Jesus, who know the work of the cross, who know God's greater miracle of not just the Red Sea, but the cross of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And he says, Listen, don't fall and have an unbelieving heart to lead you to fall away from the living God. But he says, exhort one another every day as long as it is called today. This word is a word we talk about a lot. It's a word for what the Holy Spirit does. All right, the Holy Spirit is the paraclete, the comforter, the one who comes alongside one another. And the writer of Hebrews gives this remedy. Listen, you can fall away from the living God. You can fail to enter the promises that he has for you. So here's what I want to tell you to do. Don't stop meeting together. You know, we have a lot of meetings. Anybody notice that? I have meetings 5 nights of the week, and sometimes it's 6 nights of the week. Sometimes. And sometimes I think, man, we have a lot of meetings. He says, do it all the more and do it daily. You should be together all the time encouraging one another. Looking one another in the face and saying, I'm concerned that you're growing kind of lax. I'm concerned that you're just sort of losing that interest you had in Jesus when you first became a Christian. Don't do that. Encourage one another daily. I know I'm preaching like I know this tone, but that's the tone of the passage. Can you hear the tone? It is a warning, it is an encouragement, and it is a challenge. I exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today. Well, what's today? Today's today. It's as long as you're alive and as long as you can hear. Today is not tomorrow, outside of your control. Today is not yesterday and the regrets you have. Today is today. Does that make sense? You can live in anxiety for the future. You can live in regret for the past, or you can hear what God commands you today and you can walk in it. So as long as it is called today, listen to his voice. That none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. There's many ways the heart can be hardened. Our hearts can be hard and we can't hear God. But the one that he calls out here and the one that I want to zero in on is the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, sin is not, it's not obviously bad. It looks good. It looks promising. You think, oh, it can't be that bad. I mean, it's enjoyable for a time. That'll be okay. He says, man, that's the great deceitfulness of sin. It tricks you. It promises you something it can't give you. The Israelites left Egypt, and God intended to give them the promised land. And when they got out into the wilderness, and it got a little hard, and they didn't have the Starbucks that they had in Egypt, and they didn't have the comfort that they had in Egypt, what did they say? Oh, man, the Starbucks. Oh, man, my favorite restaurant. Oh, it was so much better back there. And God had a feast in the promised land for them. They were deceived. They were so deceived that they wanted the good things they had when they were slaves. And they didn't recognize that it was those things themselves that were enslaving them. They had no idea the good things that God had in store for them. The enemy tricks us into thinking that God is the enemy of our happiness. Let me say that again. Satan tricks us into thinking that God is the enemy of our happiness, but he's the author of our happiness. And we have no idea the happiness he intends for us. And so we buy into the trinkets. We grasp for happiness on our own terms, and we go, oh man, the food was so good back when I was a slave and back when I had to work so hard. He goes on, for we have come to share in Christ. And this is maybe the most important thing he has to say. We have come to share in Christ. They had the manna in the wilderness. They had the law given to them. But the writer of Hebrews tells us that through faith in Jesus Christ, through union with him in baptism, through union with him in resurrection, through his Spirit living in us and our lives hidden with him at the Father's right hand, we share in Christ. We partake of him. We have life in him. That is the key to the life he is calling us to. That is the key to our lives now. That's the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, is we share in the life of God through Jesus Christ now. But notice what it says. Maybe, I've said that was the most important phrase, maybe here's the most important word in the whole passage. If. If, indeed, we hold on to our original confidence firm to the end. We hold on to Christ, but the question is, he holds on to us, but the question is, do we hold on to him? And he is warning these hearers. You know why he's warning these hearers? Because he's seen it happen. He's seen people fall away. He's seen people. In fact, if you read the book of Hebrews, there's many warnings about this. He's seen people turn away after coming to taste in the good things of the kingdom of God. And he says, guys, don't. Avoid at all cost becoming complacent and slackening off in your radical commitment to Jesus Christ. Don't let that complacency get a hold of you. We need to hear, he says again and again here, we need to hear his voice daily. We need to hear the voice of God daily. You should hear the voice of God every day in the scriptures. In the scriptures, in his Bible. You need to hear the word of God every day as you pray. You need to hear from him every day. You need to hear from God every day in the events of your life. You need to hear from God every day in the glory and the beauty of creation. And more than anything, he says, you need to hear God every day from one another. He says, listen, off on your own, you're going to get picked off. Off on your own, you are going to fall into the darkness. Stay together, and you will hear the word of your Father to you, encouraging you and building you up. Amen? For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? Again, these were the people that saw the 10 plagues. You know, we often think, boy, it wouldn't be great if I could just see a very, I can't challenge this, it's an obvious miracle. They saw it, and it didn't benefit them all the way to the end. Right? They saw the Red Sea. They went through. And they refused to believe God's goodness despite those displays of his commitment and love to them. So if they fell, he says, that can happen to us. But see, again, we have seen a greater miracle. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. It's the love of God and his commitment to his creation in the cross of Jesus and in his resurrection. And he says, that is a far greater thing that we have witnessed. So don't fail to believe whatever he has called you to, because the evidence of his commitment to it is the cross of his Son. If he's invested that much, he's going to do whatever, he's going to help you to do whatever he's called you to do. So see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Now let me say something very plain and very obvious. God wanted them to enter the promised land. God knew the giants were there, and he promised that he would help them inherit the promised land. And when they got there, they did not believe they could. And guess what? Because they did not believe they could not. Did you catch that? There's no failure on God's part. It's a failure in them believing that God would let them inherit the land. They did not believe they could, so they could not. And so I have a question. What has God told you to do? Promised he would help you do. And you have said, I can't. I can't do it. What things has God called you to do, commanded you to do, because he wants you to enter into the good life of fellowship with him and his son, and you've said, I can't. In the new covenant of Jesus Christ, there is no room for I can't. Because of the promises, the goodness of the promises that we have. There is no room for I can't forgive. There is no room for I can't love her. There is no room for I can't overcome that sin. There is no room for I can't break that habit. There's no room for, well, I can't love that person. Or I can't make this marriage work. Or I can't. I can't comes from hard-heartedness. And the writer of Hebrews warns us in dire terms, don't fall prey to hard-heartedness. If God has called you to something, guess what? All of God's resources are available for you to walk in it. Amen? So, I want to summarize and make a few points, and then we'll come to the table. Let me just say this. How do you fall away? Notice a couple things, first of all. He says fall away. The words that are used in Hebrews are not things that are active. Remember a couple years ago, Kelly said we don't drift into better places. Well, guess how you fall away? You drift away. It's not something active, it's something passive. You just passively absorb influences in your life that weaken your faith. So one of the ways people fall away is they're just sort of passive. They just sort of let life happen. They just sort of ease themselves into comfort. And I want to tell you, I believe it is easier and easier to just passively absorb what happens around you. And that just leads you away from faith in the living God. So the one thing is, how do you fall away? Well, you just don't do anything. You just kind of drift and you let life happen to you. The second thing out of this passage that tells us how people fall away is the deceitfulness of sin, as I've said. Choosing what we know to be wrong, but justifying it because it's just a little bit of sin. And it's just so enjoyable for a period of time. All right, there's such a lie in that. And he calls us to face that lie for what it is. And then the third thing, this is the third warning that he gives in these scriptures that cause us to fall away, is when difficulty happens in your life, how you respond to them. Israel needed water. They needed to drink. And their response to the situation where they needed water wasn't, well, you know what? God brought us out here, and God has shown his love to our father Abraham, and he has done all of this. Surely he's got a plan, and we just need to hold on. Instead, their response was complaining. Instead, their response was withdrawing their hearts from him. We complain, we doubt God's good intentions for us, and we kind of withdraw and wall our hearts off. And that creates that hardness. So those three ways, let me say them again, is you just drift passively away from the living God. The other is the deceitfulness of sin. And finally, when hard things happen, you let your heart get hard instead of opening yourself up to God and saying, God, I trust you, and I'm going to wait on you. So how do we keep from having hard hearts? And that's what I want to zero in on. Two things I'll mention. He just gives two, really. He just gives these two. The first one is life together. He says, encourage one another daily. And he doesn't really give, you know, I don't know what kind of meetings they had or who these were. He just said, listen, you need to daily let your life interact with one another. And when you see one another drifting, when you see one another getting hard-hearted, when you see one another playing with just a little bit of sin, get a hold of one another in love, in humility. But get a hold, rescue one another from those things that are leading you into a hardness of heart. You know, we have home groups. And those are sort of artificial constructions to obey this command. Does that make sense? I mean, we plan, and you're in this one, and I'm in that one, and we have all our sort of plans, but they're all aimed at this. They're all aimed at, oh, God, help us to not be a people who stop hearing you and who drift away into the deceitfulness of sin and just the influence around us. We need to repent, probably, of complaining about all the meetings. I'm not saying I'm going to call more meetings, but God says do it all the more as you see the day approaching. Wasn't my idea, right? It's God's warning to us. Amen? Isn't that good? All right, and the second thing is this. He says we are sharers, we are partakers of Christ. And so the second thing is holding fast to Christ, that we're a people who know our identity in Christ. We know that he is the one who has entered into his promised rest, and we participate with him. But keep in mind, I go back to point one, we do this together, right? We take hold of Christ as we get to know Christ in the words of one another. We are called to be in close groups where our lives are known enough that people can see if I'm drifting, if I'm getting hard-hearted, if I'm getting deceived. And they can grab me by the lapel and say, brother, I love you. Wake up. And I think some people need to wake up. I think God is giving us a word tonight that if you see a brother or a sister that needs to wake up, you're called, you're commanded to do that. But more than anything, it is a warning to all of us. Amen? Now, I want to end with this, that this is encouragement. All right. All we have to do is hold fast to Christ until the end and not be deceived by false, counterfeit offers, and hold fast to the promises he has given us. Amen?